Welcome to the Catholic Truth Podcast, where we teach and preach the truth of the Catholic faith without compromise and without apology. We want to give you high energy and non-boring Catholicism, where anyone at any time can come to know exactly what the Catholic Church teaches and why. We do apologetics, spirituality, other religions, our culture, and more. Most of all, we want to inspire you, inform you, and help you to know, love, and live your Catholic faith with purpose and passion. We are Catholic Truth. Hello, Catholic Truth family. Welcome to our podcast. I am your host, Brian Mercier, and I am the president of Catholic Truth. We have recently hired four people that we are very excited about. We recently hired a secretary who will be helping us with all the growing demands and work that we have here. We've hired two response team members who are going to be helping to answer YouTube questions and social media questions and just comments of all sorts on all different social media platforms, because we literally get hundreds. I mean, I could answer questions and comments from people for 8 hours a day, every day, and still not get through them all. So we're hiring some team members to help us with this. And we also just hired a social media guru. We also have some new people blogging for us. So we're doing a lot of good new things here at Catholic Truth that we're very excited about. If you already support our ministry, then you will see this in the newsletters, or if you follow us on social media, you will hear about it. We are going to be posting the pictures and a little bit of bios for all the people that we are hiring and the new Catholic Truth team that we are excited about. And just in case you didn't know, we also have some Catholic Truth merch now. We have a lot of mugs coming out. We have t-shirts of different variations coming out. So if you're interested in any of that, check out our website at thecatholictruth.org. In this particular podcast, we're going to be talking about 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. It was the weekday reading from yesterday, and I thought it was a very good one, something that we can all learn from and something that's not always discussed enough about. And we have here Paul, who is talking to the Corinthians, and it says, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one of you must do as he made up his mind to do, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So Paul here is talking about giving generously. I mean, how many of us just give because we have to? How many of us go to Mass because we have to? I mean, I hate to say this, but the average Catholic just checks in and checks out of Mass every Sunday. They do what they're supposed to do, but nothing more. Many times we might, you know, say grace before meals, or, you know, pray for a couple minutes before we go to bed at night, but that's all we do and nothing more. So a lot of times as Catholics, many people do the minimum amount. We find tons of time to do social media, to scroll Instagram and Snapchat and different things like that, to watch Netflix, but so few people dedicate a really good amount of time to God and to prayer generously. And Paul is asking the Corinthians and us to give generously back to God. St. Teresa of Avila once put it this way. She said, "When you fall in love, all you want to do is spend that time with the other person who you love. You can't wait to see them. And even when you're not with them, you're thinking about them. And they're thinking about you. And when you're together, you just relish that time together. And you're even willing to make sacrifices and put things that were important aside just so you can spend time with your beloved, just so you can spend time with that person that you love." Many times we don't give generously to God, but she is saying we need to have that same fervency that madly in love couples have for each other, that they just want to spend every waking moment together. Not that we're going to spend every waking moment with God necessarily, but we have to have that fervency, that desire to be with God and to give to Him generously. This is a key ingredient of the spiritual life. Not only if you give more generously will God give more generously back to you, which we'll see in a second, but the more you give to God, the more you will receive in return, the more you will increase your prayer life, and the closer to God you will come. In verse 8, Paul says God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for others for every good work. What is Paul even talking about here? Well, as an apostle, actually all the apostles, I don't know if anyone knows this out there, but Luke chapter 8 says that many women of means, meaning they had lots of money, gave money continually to Jesus and the apostles. They supported 13 grown men full-time so that they could do full-time ministry, so that they could serve God full-time and preach the gospel full-time. And here, Paul is saying that the churches support him as an apostle so that he can go out and travel, and he can do full-time ministry, and he can travel the world speaking and preaching the truth. So each of these people here in Corinth had promised Paul to give him some money to support his ministry, to support his travels, because if they didn't give to him, he wouldn't have money to sail across to other countries, to go visit the other Christian churches, to preach the gospel there and that sort of thing. So he asked people to support him in his missions, and they did. But some people were starting to go back on that or saying, oh, maybe it's not that important, or maybe we don't want to give. And Paul is saying, don't be like that. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, meaning if you only give a little, you're only going to get a little with God. But if you give generously, then God will give generously to you. And that's not just spiritually. Paul's saying it's possible that it could even be financially or in other ways as well. But he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must do as he made up his mind to do. In other words, you already promised it to me, Paul said. Don't do it reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. What a line. I mean, think about that. Do we tithe every week? We're supposed to give part of our paycheck every week back to God. And I mean, maybe people choose to do it monthly, or people do a one huge time donation at the end of the year. But the bottom line is, we're supposed to give in some ways our finances back to God. And not just, oh, you know, here's $10 in the basket on Sunday, or here's a dollar. That's not generous. The church does so much good, and she has a mission that $10 is not going to do anything. Of course, if you only make a little money, then yes, you give what you have. But if God has given to you generously and you make good money, then you should be giving more back to God for the mission of the church. And if you don't like your parish, give it to Catholic Charities, or consider donating to Catholic Relief Services, who gives money to the poor and dying over in Africa and Asia, and people who are starving around the world. I mean, there are other places where we can help people. Perhaps you can give it to poor people directly. Perhaps you can give it to a food bank shelter where they can go buy food for poor people, soup kitchens, and that sort of thing. But the bottom line is, God asks us, I mean, he gives us everything we have. The Bible is clear that we would have nothing without him. And so we are called to give back to him generously. And by giving back to him, meaning we give back to the church or his children in some way. That's what we're all called to do. And God loves a cheerful giver. I know sometimes I used to give money every week just because I had to. I'd write the check because I had to. But am I giving joyfully? That's the question. I'm not giving just to the charity. I'm giving back to God. I'm giving to his children. Jesus said, what you do to the least of my children, you do to me. Jesus said, what you do to the least of my children, you do to me. So every person we give to, it's like we're giving it to God. And we want to give generously to God. And that's not just financially. That's our talents. That's the things that we're good at. That's maybe going to soup kitchens ourselves and serving. Maybe that's going and serving at a single woman's house who, you know, have kids and they're poor and they need help and support. I mean, there's many ways we can give back. Maybe it's stopping and talking to a homeless person who everybody ignores and treats like trash. There are many ways that we can give back to God generously in our life. Some people say, well, I'm a nurse. I give back every day. Well, I remember one of my friends was like, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. You make money doing that. You know, what we give to God generously, I mean, yeah, sure, that can be part of it. But outside of our job, how much do we give to God through our giving to our families, through giving to people in need, through giving to charities, through people who do good apostolic work and serve, through people and charities and organizations that do great apostolic work and give to God? This is so important. Paul goes on to say that he who supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food will also supply and multiply your resources and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So God is going to make you rich in the things that are important. If you generously give to God with a joyful heart, and you generously give to others, and you love giving, and you give fervently to God, He is going to bless you in abundance with joy and peace in His Spirit and righteousness and the path to heaven. I mean, the Bible says if we only give a little, we're only going to get a little in return. Look at Cain and Abel. Abel gave his first fruits, the best of his flocks, to God because God is the best and deserves the best. Whereas Cain gave his leftovers. He gave his leftovers to God. What was left? Okay, you can have that, God. And the Bible says that God frowned upon Cain's gift, and he didn't like that. And he loved Abel because he had such a generous, loving heart to give back to God. And Cain hated that. He was so jealous that he killed his brother, even though his brother did what was good and he didn't. His heart was evil. And many people do not tithe to God, hardly ever. Many people do not give or ever go to a soup kitchen or do a mission or go help people in need. There are many people around us in need. And sure, we could say, oh, that's what God wants me to do, so I'm going to go do that. But okay, are we just giving the minimum amount because we're supposed to, or are we trying to give to God generously out of love because we love Him? Same thing with the Mass. Most people don't get much out of the Mass because they only do what they're supposed to. They show up, they repeat the prayers, they only do what they're told to do. It's routine. But how many people show up early for Mass? 5-10 minutes early to pray to God and prepare their hearts. How many people stay after Mass for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, or even a few minutes to thank God and stay with Him in the Eucharist and give more to Him than that's required? I remember I used to go to adoration for an hour, and sometimes I couldn't concentrate the whole hour of adoration. It was a cross and a struggle. It was terrible. But then toward the end of the hour, God started to infuse His Spirit in me, and I started to come alive, and I started to feel so close to God. But then I look at my watch, and it's time to go. So I have to make the choice. Do I leave because I already did my time, or do I stay? Even though it might be for another half an hour or more, do I choose to stay with God, who's giving His love to me, who's reaching out to me and initiating love to me? And I chose to stay. And every time I do, I bask in His love, and I bask in His mercy, and I bask in His relationship that He finally initiated after an hour. Maybe it was a test. You know, maybe it was a test for me to see if I would stay. And I did choose to stay. Most times I choose to stay, and that's hard because we have things to do. We have places to go. And sometimes perhaps we can't stay. But if we can, would we? Even if it means staying an hour and a half or even 2 hours, that's giving generously to God because it's going over and above what's required. Like when the people were putting money in the basket in the Bible, and then one lady put in, it was like equal to a penny. Jesus said that she gave more than all the other people combined because she was so poor, but she gave all she had. So the Bible says if you have a little, then give what you have. If you have a lot, if God has allowed you to have abundance, then you should give back to God abundantly and joyfully. I remember my wife and I used to support people we knew who were financially unstable, who were really in bad places. Sometimes they couldn't even afford to buy food, and so we would give them money each week to try to help them out and to say, here, you know, we're here for you. I mean, that's what the church is. We're supposed to be here for each other. We're supposed to look out for the weak parts of the body. We're supposed to look out for those who don't have enough so that hopefully when we don't have enough, other people will help us in return. This is the prosperity of the gospel, that everyone gives to everyone else so that very few people have any need. This is what it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, where it says that we are the body, and as such, we are supposed to provide for other members of the body and be there for each other and love one another. And in doing so, we serve God. So in conclusion, think about your life. Do you give generously? Are you a generous person, or are you a miser? Do you hoard money? Do you hoard things? Do you hoard time? Do you not give generously to others? Is it all about you in life? Are you selfish? Do you think about everything in relation to you, how it affects you, what you're going to get, what you're going to miss out on, what you're going to lose? Or do you think about others and what they will gain, how you can help them, how you can free them, and how you can make their life better in some way? That is the Christian gospel, is giving, and it is in giving that we receive. That's why, again, Paul says that God has every ability to provide you with every blessing in abundance. Not some blessings, not part blessings, every blessing in abundance, so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for every good work. Meaning, you may provide for people like Paul, or perhaps Catholic Truth, or perhaps Catholic Answers, or Catholic Charities, or provide for other people's work. You know, if we give to others and God gives to us and we give to others, that's a constant cycle where we help them to do their apostolic work. My wife and I have given to Catholic Answers, we've given to EWTN, we've given to the Coming Home Network, St. Joseph's Communications, Catholic Relief Services, and so many more. There are so many people in need. There are so many great apostolates helping so many people, and they need people like us. And so my wife and I try to be generous in that regard, and knowing that we're not just giving it to the organization, we're giving it to God, because God has called us to this work. God has called them to that work, and God wants that work done. And so anytime we support that work, we are helping God in His work. And that's a beautiful thing. We're being parts of the kingdom. We're helping to build up the kingdom. And Paul is saying that God can build you up and give you every blessing. And not just in this life, but in the life to come. Matthew 25 shows the picture of those people who were not good. They did not give and they went to hell, as opposed to the people who did have faith and they did give and they gave abundantly and they went to heaven. And both parties asked Jesus, "What? I didn't see you. I mean, what do you mean I didn't give to you? Or what do you mean I did give to you?" And Jesus said, "What you did to the least of my brethren, you did to me. So when you fed the poor, you did that to me. When you visited the imprisoned, you did that to me. When you clothed the naked, you did that to me." And so on. Do you see Jesus in all the situations in life? Do you see Jesus in the people around you in life? Do you recognize the divine in different circumstances, or do we just see life as life? And we go through life and we do the exact same thing every day, do things that we're supposed to, but we never give generously. Feel free to read 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11 from the reading the other day if you didn't. Meditate on it. It's a great passage. God loves a joyful giver. I mean, can you imagine if somebody gave you a gift and they only did it because they had to? Can you imagine if your husband or wife took you out for Father's Day or Mother's Day, but they only did it because they had to? Could you imagine if they took you out on a date, but they only did it because they had to? I mean, that would be terrible. That wouldn't be love at all. That would be compulsion. And God doesn't want that either. God doesn't want us to, "Oh, I have to tithe. Oh, I have to give to the poor. Oh, I have to go do service work." Oh, we need a change of heart if that's our attitude. We need conversion of heart, because God wants us to give these things. He wants us to give generously. He wants us to have an overflowing heart of love and generosity and compassion and kindness toward others and to Him. So think about that throughout the rest of the day. What kind of person are you, and how can you give more generously to God and to others? Thanks so much for listening today, and I want to thank especially those who give generously to us here at Catholic Truth. And there have been many friends of Catholic Truth over the last week or two who have given generously to us, and we want to thank you for helping support our work. We are growing so fast, and we need so much help. God has called us to this work, and we need you. We have so many people that we are reaching, Catholic and non-Catholic alike, young and old alike. We have 11-year-olds watching our YouTube channel saying that we have helped them to come back to the Catholic Church. Even though their family doesn't go to the church, they are religious now because of our channel. 16-year-olds who want to convert to the Catholic Church, even though their families are converting to the Seventh-day Adventist. There are so many people on so many levels and so many ways and so many backgrounds who are just hurting and broken and lost and confused. And God has called us to help them and to rebuild the church. And so many of you understand our cause and our mission. We thank you so much for supporting our mission. We thank you for supporting these people. It's not us you're supporting, it's them, because all of the resources go back to them and into saving souls and changing lives, helping people and accompanying them on their journey, bringing people back to the Catholic faith, preventing people from leaving the Catholic faith, and so much more. So thank you for all your support. Thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for all you do to watch and to listen, which actually supports us as well. Thank you for all those who share us on your social media pages. Share us with others. I mean, people can give generously in that way too. Sharing the gospel is an act of love. It's a spiritual work of mercy. So thank you for sharing our work. Thank you for sharing our videos. Thank you for sharing our podcasts. And thank you for your prayers that you give to us. We really appreciate it more than you could know. May God bless you. And you are in our prayers as well.